The fight against COVID-19 is challenging for a lot of different reasons. Among the challenges, of course, are psychological. Many of us are struggling through this, and that includes kids and teenagers as well as adults. Karen Bluth is a professor of psychology at UNC. She also last year launched the program on mindfulness and self-compassion at the Frank Porter Graham Child Development Institute. They're now offering self-compassion classes for kids and teenagers ages 11 to 19. And Dr. Bluth joins us here on the phone to talk about the program, to talk about the classes, and to talk about the challenges behind them. Dr. Bluth, thank you so much for being with us today. How are you?
I'm great. Well, it's good to be here.
So first of all, tell us about just in general the importance of self-compassion in preteens and teenagers, the larger issue that led to the creation of the institute or the program last year.
Yeah, well, we know from research that teens and preteens struggle a lot. They're very hard on themselves. They beat themselves up a lot, and they really struggle with feelings of inadequacy, unworthiness, with lack of self-confidence, and we know that depression and anxiety and stress rise pretty dramatically in the teen years. And so, this has been my line of research, working with teens and self-compassion. And we developed a course on self-compassion for teens, which is adapted from an adult course. And we've been teaching this for the last 5 years or so, and have trained about 200 teachers internationally in the program. And we offer it here at UNC through the Frank Porter Graham program.
So what actually is self-compassion? What does that entail?
Yeah, that's a great question. Self-compassion is treating yourself with the same kind of care and support and tenderness that you treat your good friends when they're struggling. So we know that that most of us are very kind with our good friends when they're struggling. We don't hesitate to offer them whatever it is that they need, but we don't do the same for ourselves. We're much, much harder on ourselves. About 80% of us are much kinder to our friends than we are to ourselves. And we say things to ourselves that we would never in a million years say to a good friend. So, so self-compassion is treating yourself with that same kindness that you treat your good friends. And that's the informal definition. There's a more formal definition that has three different components, but I don't think I really necessarily need to get into that right now. It's a little bit more extensive.
But it sounds like there's two parts to self-compassion. It's being kind to yourself when you're struggling, and it's also being able to recognize that you're struggling and when you're struggling, right?
Yeah, so you're getting into the different components.
Yeah.
So the awareness is the mindfulness component to self-compassion. There are three different components. So the awareness is the mindfulness component, so knowing that you're struggling. And you're right that that can seem obvious, that of course we know we're struggling, but we don't often. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we push it away, we resist it, we don't want to face it, and we don't realize it. So that's the first component. The second component is common humanity, which is the understanding that whatever it is that we're going through, the difficult emotions, that they are part of just being human and being alive and being on this planet. And often we tend to not recognize that. We tend to think that we're the only ones. You know, when we're actually in that place, when we're actually feeling, when we're actually struggling, we forget that this is normal, you know, that this is what human beings go through. And then the last part is self-kindness. So that's taking an active role to say nice things to yourself or be kind to yourself.
So how does COVID-19 impact all of this, or exacerbate it, or affect it? I know this is kind of the abnormal time, but it's something that all of us are simultaneously dealing with.
Yeah. Well, obviously, stress is really, really high, and it's high among everyone, right? It's high among adults. It's high among teens. For teens in particular, when they're at home with their families, with their parents. Remember, teens are, the whole period of adolescence is about individuation and about figuring out their identity and who they are. And in order to do that, they have to go out and explore and try different things. And you can't do that with COVID. Mm-hmm. You know, you're stuck at home, basically. You know, you're at a time when your peers and your peer relationships are really important to you. So you're not able to do that exploring. That is really part of adolescence. And so you've got the stress. You know, you know, you're stuck at home. You're missing out on, you know, so many different things that that teens celebrate, things like being a senior in high school and not being able to experience those things that you have in your second semester of your senior year, sports events, just being able to be outside, all those things that really support teens, you know, are they're not able to do anymore.
Speaking with Karen Bluth, again, UNC psychology professor, founder of the program on mindfulness and self-compassion at the Frank Porter Graham Child Development Institute, fpg.unc.edu is their website. And we're speaking or about to speak about mindfulness and self-compassion classes that are available for preteens and teenagers, 11 to 15 and 15 to 19. What do the classes entail? What is this program like?
So we have an adult class, and the adult class is 8 classes, 2.5 hours a week for 8 weeks. We're offering it now, of course, because of COVID, we're offering it online. For adults, we have a class starting this Thursday, extended it to 3 hours, just so that we can provide some breaks, some 15-minute breaks in there. But classes are to cultivate the skills of self-compassion, to learn how to be more self-compassionate. And this class for adults has been around, I think, 2012. We've been teaching it since 2014. And we have a team class that we're going to be offering in August. We've also taught this for the last 5 years or so. And this is the one that's adapted from the adult course. Mm-hmm. And the teen course is just more developmentally appropriate for teens. The classes are a little bit shorter. We do more, we have more video clips, and we play games, and we do art and music, and we even do this online. We just taught 2 classes online in the month of April, and it worked, you know, and in some ways it even worked better than in person. So we'll be offering it again in August. And again, it's to help teens learn that you just don't need to struggle that much. You know, this is a very hard time for all of us, but it doesn't have to be as hard as it is. You know, there's a way to face our struggles and our difficulties and our difficult emotions with a little bit more ease.
What are the adult classes like?
The adult classes involve guided meditation practices that, again, cultivate the different elements of self-compassion, and reflection and discussion about obstacles, about things that come up. We've been teaching it at UNC in various different forms, I think I mentioned, since 2014, and have had enormous, enormous success. And in that, the people, the students that we teach are we've gotten such positive feedback. And it's one of the things in my professional life, quite honestly, that I like doing more than anything, because we can really see in a very direct way how it changes people's lives. And it's just enormously rewarding.
Yeah, say more about that, because I was wondering how you measure success in a class like this.
Well, there are some research studies that have been published on both the adult and the teen program, both that are out there. So there's that. There's the actual empirical evidence. Mm-hmm. But we anecdotally, we just distribute an evaluation at the end of every class. And that really helps us to see what's working well, what we can tweak a little bit. But for the most part, we've just had just an enormous amount of positive feedback. And you know, I credit the creators of the program. You know, we were trained. My co-teacher and I were trained in the program. But the reason I believe it's so successful really is that it's just put together really well by the creators of the program, Kristen Neff and Chris Germer.
Mm. Speaking with Dr. Karen Bluth again, UNC psychology professor. So what is step one if people are struggling, or even if they don't feel that they necessarily are, but they want to be better at practicing self-compassion and mindfulness? What's the first thing that folks ought to do?
Well, I think, you know, if they want to take this course, they would just get on our website and register. There are also books out there right now, a number of books that they can read.
Mm-hmm.
One is Mindful Self-Compassion Workbook by Kristen Neff and Chris Germer. And I have a workbook that's published that's for teens, and that's the Self-Compassion Workbook for Teens. So those are out there. Those are probably, to actually learn skills, those are probably the best resources. Then there are also a number of other books that are directed at different groups. There's one for parents, Self-Compassion Parenting, I think is the name of it, by Susan Pollock. But if they're interested in learning more in general, they can either go to our website at UNC or the General Center for Mindful Self-Compassion website, which is centerformsc.org. And that's there's lots of information there about all the different programs that are offered.
And for parents who might be interested in helping their kids, whether they're younger or preteens or teens, what's the best advice for parents?
You know, honestly, I think the best advice for parents, what they can do, other than, of course, registering their kids in the teen class, is to practice self-compassion themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because that's how kids learn, right? They learn from seeing the adults around them modeling certain behavior. And, you know, we can tell our kids one thing and then model something else entirely. And they're going to pick up what we're modeling. So, yeah, so that's all to say that I think it's important for adults to model self-compassion.
Speaking again with Karen Bluth, so as we begin to wrap up, what are the details that folks ought to know about the classes if they want to register themselves or if they want to sign their kids up for the teen classes? What do they need to know?
Just to go to our website, and all the information is there. And our website is self-compassion, as one word, no hyphen, .web.unc.edu. And all the information is there. And for teens, there's a tab that you can go to there's a couple of different videos where teens are actually talking about their experiences with the program. One of the videos is of my co-teacher interviewing a teen that's been through the program. And the other is a professionally made video of teens in Northern Washington State who've taken the program, and they're talking about the program.
Anything else that people ought to know about either the classes or self-compassion in general?
Yeah, I think the underlying message that I'd like folks to know is that they don't have to suffer this much. You know, they really don't. That there is a way to alleviate some of this stress that we're under. That we don't have to be as stressed or as anxious or depressed. And we just don't have to suffer this much. We don't have to struggle this much.
Selfcompassion.web.unc.edu is the website. Go there and find out more. You can also go there to register for either the adult or teen classes, and centerformsc.org for more information on the national level. Karen Bluth, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.